Good morning. Welcome to the Wednesday morning devotion and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. My name is Tom Lemler. I'm a staff member of the Deer Run Church of Christ in South Bend, Indiana, as well as the director of Impact Prayer Ministry. Today we continue a week's focus on living with a new resolve and carrying on to further the commitments we were talking about and praying about last week. To actually doing something about it. And today we're going to look at a new resolve to purity of speech. And we talk a little bit about the way we use our words and praying about that. Not just our spoken words, although that's a big part of it. But perhaps in today's society, our typed out words are just as important. In Psalm chapter 17, verse 3, we read, "Though you probe my heart and examine me at night, though you test me, you will find nothing. For I have resolved that my mouth will not sin." James writes, and he talks about the tongue being this incredible force. He likens it to a rudder on a ship. Though it's a small part of the ship, it determines the direction that the ship goes. Or a spark igniting an entire forest on fire. He talks about the tongue being full of restless evil. And so when the psalmist prays and he talks with God and opens up his life to be examined. And there's a confidence expressed that because of this resolve to not sin in what he says, that there would be nothing found that would be out of place. I've said it numerous times. You've probably heard it other places. It's definitely not original with me. As a matter of fact, it comes from God. That out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. And it kind of follows the principle that our actions follow our thoughts. Our words follow our thoughts. Our words follow what is inside. And if we have resolved to not sin in our words, to put a guard over the things that we say, over the things that we share with others, then we've made a huge stride towards freeing ourselves with God's help, with His protection, with His power, from sin. Many times we, in our mind at least, think it's not that big of a deal. And whether our words are sinful because they're hurtful, whether they're sinful because they're untrue, whether they're sinful because they're using God's name in vain, they're swearing, they're all adds up to the same thing. A distancing of us from God. I suspect that you know people as well as I know people that tend to have what they might describe as colorful language. In my day growing up, we would have called it filthy language. We've changed the term for it so it doesn't sound so bad. I think sometimes we change the terms for things so that we don't feel convicted to do something about it in our own life. And when we live with words that are coarse, that are filthy, that are meant to degrade. And whether it's meant to degrade God, whether it's meant to degrade ourselves, whether it's meant to degrade others, it's not appropriate for God's children. And to resolve to a purity of speech. There are times where we need an outside ear to listen to how we really sound. I remember years ago I had a person after a church service I had preached that morning ask me why I was mad at them. And it really took me back because it wasn't a person I had anything against. I mean, any of our interactions had been good. But as I pressed the issue a little further, it really had to do with my tone of speech. And they felt that even in my sermon that there was a reception on their part that I was angry with them specifically. And while there wasn't any of that at all within the message towards them or towards anyone else, it made me stop and think about how my words are perceived. You see, sometimes we get this tunnel vision. We kind of think we know our motives. We think we know what's behind the words we use. But do we really know how others hear them? You see, God tells us to use our words in ways that benefit the hearer. And for us to be able to do that in this resolve to a purity of speech, we have to get some sort of an understanding of how our words are being heard. On the flip side, recently I had an individual after a devotion that I did in person talk about comment that they could listen to me all day. That my words and my tone were just calming and soothing to them. And I thought, well, wow, that's quite a change from the years before, at least in evaluation. And as we consider what it looks like, what it sounds like to have a purity of speech, I believe the same can be said as we consider how others view what we share on social media. Whether it's things that are original with us that we type out, or whether it's things that we see that we believe shares what we want to say, how do others view it? Do we come across as angry people, as divisive people, as hurtful people? You see, there's this idea that, and I believe it's amplified at least in the American culture, although in reality I think it's a flesh culture, but we celebrate it in America, that I can do whatever I want. I can say whatever I want. And while that might technically be true, when we live in a Christian culture, when we live as citizens of God's kingdom, he says to put a guard over your lips, to only speak that which is beneficial to those who hear to not use the Lord's name in vain, to avoid coarse and foolish jesting. You see, God's desire is that we would live differently from who we were in the flesh before we allowed Christ in to clean us up, to transform us, to change us. You see, if we come to Christ, if we are washed in His blood, if we allow His Spirit to take up residence within us and nothing changes, what has really been accomplished? God's desire is that we become a new creation. That in Christ the old is gone, the new has come. And one of the more visible ways of that is in this purity of speech and the purity of our words. I grew up in an era where the rhyme would probably be considered taunting and bullying now, but it was a pretty common playground phrase of sticks and stones may break my bones, but words may never hurt me, or will never hurt me. And everyone that has heard that in their life, I believe, understands, at least as you've grown older, that that's one of the biggest lies ever told. Our words have power to heal. They have power to destroy. How are we using them? Last week, I began a personal focus on what I call POP, praying on purpose. What does that look like, to use my words to encourage? And the basis behind it for me is this idea of when a person comes to mind, for whatever reason, to pray on purpose for them. And I might not have a lot of details, I might not have any specifics, but for some reason that name came to mind, and I pray purposefully. And then reach out to encourage, to resolve to use your words for good and not harm, to lift up others and not put them down. Sometimes that is difficult. Well, most of the time that is difficult. But that's what God has called us to walk and to live and to speak as children of the light, as children of His. Today, as we spend time praying, I would encourage you to not just examine on your own how you're doing in this purity of speech, but to listen to what others say. And yet you can ask a close and trusted friend, and whether they'll be honest with you or not is sometimes questionable, because we don't want to hurt one another's feelings. But listen to what others say, especially when you're not asking, about how your words come across. And as you pray, ask God to help you resolve to a purity of speech. Resolve to using words in a way that help, in a way that builds up, in a way that encourages. Would you spend some time today praying with me? Father, thank you that you are a God that loves us. You've given us example in the way that you use words. Your words spoke everything into existence. All of the beauty that we see on this earth, the intricate design of our own bodies, were a result of your words. And you've given us your word that we have as the Bible. Your word that contains laws and instructions and commands and encouragements, warnings and examples of how we ought to live, examples of the consequences of not living obediently to you, of straying away, the examples of restoration when we return. Father, may we use your word to examine our own words. May it be the standard by which we gauge everything that we say. Help us today to have a good understanding of how our words sound to others. May we resolve to not only this purity of speech in its content, but in its use, in its result, in its motive. And Father, as we live with this resolve to a purity of speech, may you cleanse our very heart. As we recognize and acknowledge that it's that overflow of our heart that spills out into the words that we use, may you cleanse us fully and may you fill us completely, so that all that resides within us is you, that all of the words that would overflow out of us would be your words. Words that help, words that build up. Father, even when there are words that convict, even when there are words that challenge, may we take our cue from you and from Jesus that did these things in ways that were always for the benefit of the hearer. Remove any sense of pride or arrogance out of the words that we use. God, today as we live with this growing purity of speech, may it not be for our glory or for our good, but for the process of making Jesus known. And today, in the words that we use, in whatever form that we use them, may they be done and spoken and shared in such a way that they lift up Jesus, so that many would be drawn to him. It's in his name that I pray. Amen. This has been the Wednesday morning devotion and prayer time from Impact Prayer Ministry. I do pray that your day is greatly blessed by God, so that you can be a blessing to others. Have a great day.